I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Anthony Davis is going to the LA Lakers. We have news on Kemba. We have news on Kawhi, Klay Thompson. What about D'Angelo Russell, Julius Randle for the Mavericks, Pat Beverly? There's a Rockets article that just came out on the turmoil in the armpit. We needed to get him on. Jeff Skin Wade, Mavs analyst, Ben and Skin Show, joining us on the buyersafety.com hotline on 105.3 The Fan. Good morning, Jeffrey. How are you?
Hello, boys. How are we doing this fine Monday morning?
Should the Lakers be the favorites to win the title as Vegas has them?
I think they're a good favorite. I think if I were to try to put money down, I would lean towards the Milwaukee Bucks,
okay,
who I actually thought was going to win the title this year. Assuming they keep their team back, you know, you just laid out all these free agent scenarios. There's been so much juicy stuff going on. People have stopped talking about the fact that the Bucks have to figure out a way to bring back Brogdon, Middleton, and Lopez, who ended up becoming a real valuable weapon for them as a three-point shooter. Go look at some of the random box scores he had during the playoffs. So
yeah,
if the assuming the Bucks do keep that team together, and there was a real slept-on story from about 3 months ago when Eric Bledsoe accepted a contract below market value that gave them a chance to keep them all together. But with all this movement, I think someone's going to get an itchy trigger finger and way overpay Malcolm Brogdon. So as of now, I would probably put my money on the Bucks, but the Lakers, depending on how they deal with what's left of their cap space, have a chance to obviously put together an amazing team while the Golden State Warriors are down this year.
How do you analyze the Anthony Davis deal for both sides?
I mean, I think it's great for both sides from the simple fact that there's four or five dudes in the NBA that change your fortune, and Anthony Davis is one of them. So if you have, even though he's on his last legs of still being an incredible player in LeBron, LeBron will still be really, really fantastic for two or three years. He's probably reached his peak physically. In fact, we know he has, and they're really going to start managing his minutes even more. But putting LeBron and Anthony Davis together, and I've been saying this for a year, you know, when all the Kevin Durant talk was, hey, he's going to leave. What I said was the moment he leaves, it completely balances out the NBA because then there's not going to be any super teams left. Really, the closest thing you'll have to it is the Sixers, and the Sixers still have to figure out if they're keeping Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris, but nobody has more than two stars anymore. And so that actually elevates the Mavericks rather quickly.
Oh yeah.
You know, it's one thing to go up against a team with a dynamic duo, but once a team has Steph, Klay, and Kevin Durant, all right, good night, it's over. But now, who is the team that has three stars? There isn't one. So the moment that you have two, you're in play. Then it comes down to what do you put around them? How quickly can those guys develop chemistry and put it together? And so the Lakers have to get Anthony Davis just because you can't get a player like that. Excuse me. It's very difficult to get a player like that. Now they got to figure out with what's left of their cap space what they're going to put around them, just as all these other teams do. And then the other huge question is, does Kawhi leave Toronto? I think there's a compelling case to be made that he stays, and it's a financial case. But if he leaves and goes to the Clippers, is he able to get anybody to come with him? Say, I don't know, I'm just throwing names out, Jimmy Butler, Kemba Walker, whatever. The best thing for the league would be for Kyrie Irving to go to Brooklyn, and then for Kawhi Leonard to stay put in Toronto, and then it doesn't even really matter where Kevin Durant decides to go because he's not going to be a factor next year. If he does that, I think there's suddenly five or six or seven teams that go, we can win it all this year.
Skin, you mentioned what they're able to put around them with their cap space. Did Rob Pelinka screw this up? Because if they were to wait till the 30th of July, they'd have the full amount of money. As it is, if Anthony Davis takes the escalator and his trade bonus, they only have $23.5 million. Did the Lakers screw this whole thing up?
Well, I understand the debate on all that. I have a hard time believing Pelinka didn't know the dynamics of all this. Right. And keep in mind, this trade is not official. Okay, we're in the day and age where reporters report trades that aren't official. So they have agreed in principle to a deal. And the dynamics of this, without getting into cap minutiae, have to do with whether the Lakers operate as an over-the-cap team or an under-the-cap team. And if they're an under-the-cap team, they can take, you know, Anthony Davis into their cap space. The minute they do that, they eliminate some of their cap space. So you can start moving the pieces around all you want, but if the Lakers were to try to convince the Pelicans to push the trade back to because they think they have another max player lined up, then that changes the dynamics of the deal. I think what this proves with all these stories is that the Lakers didn't have a third superstar lined up. If they had, they would already have all the machinations of this worked out. But what everyone's talking about is, hey, it's the Lakers' benefit to push this back. Why would David Griffin want to help out the Lakers? So my follow-up question to you is, who else is going to get anywhere near close to this offer for the Pelicans? The moment that Kyrie Irving decided to bounce Boston, this was a one-horse race. Nobody was going to be able to put the package together that the Lakers could push. So if the Lakers really had a chance to get a max free agent, all they have to do is go back to the Pelicans and say, hey, man, we're not going to do this deal. And then what does David Griffin do? They're going to go through another year like last year where Anthony Davis plays 15 minutes a night and gets booed.
Right.
They're going to give up all those assets. I mean, the Lakers have a lot more leverage in this than people are giving them credit for. It was a great deal, as reported, for both sides. I just don't think the Lakers actually have another max guy lined up. I don't think Kyrie Irving is going there. I think he's got his heart set on Brooklyn, and that'll help the Mavericks. We'll get to that in a second. And then on top of that, Kemba Walker, people talked about the Supermax. Kemba's not getting the Supermax, all right? The Hornets aren't offering the Kemba the Supermax, and I would have a hard time arguing that the Hornets will even offer him the Max, period, the flat Max.
Why?
Okay, Kemba Walker makes, this year I'd have to look, but he makes about $12 million a year, okay, mm-hmm. this past season. So you'd mean to tell me that they're going to almost triple that? They're going to almost triple that salary to bring back the same team that didn't make the playoffs in the East?
Right.
Do you guys really think Michael Jordan gets down like that? I'll put it to you like this. Kemba Walker could walk from the Hornets today, and they would have the availability to do is add a veteran minimum player.
Ooh.
They're over the cap. So it's either, okay, guys, let's triple Kemba Walker's salary or try to figure something else out.
Mm.
And I just don't see Michael Jordan as the kind of guy that's going to triple a player's salary in order to bring back the same team that can't make the playoff. So if you start taking the Hornets aren't offering the max out of this picture, then what is Kemba's leverage? Is it to take a max deal with the Clippers, go play with Kawhi if Kawhi goes there? There's a lot of dominoes still to fall. But I just don't see the Hornets offering Kemba Walker the max.
Mm.
Everybody reacted to that article last week where Kemba said he'll take less.
Yeah.
Go watch that clip. He said, I'll take less than the Supermax, which he was never going to be offered. There's no way in hell the Hornets were going to go into luxury tax to not make the playoffs.
Small
market teams don't operate like that.
All right. Here's the latest rumors. One of your reaction to everything over the weekend. Jeff Skin Wade, buyersafety.com hotline. Klay Thompson's dad says he's going back to Golden State. Mark
yep.
Stein reports that the Lakers are going after Kemba. Fish has been talking about Kemba as the most likely target here for the Mavs.
Yep.
And then you had reports that Kyrie wanted to play with Anthony Davis, no mention of LeBron in that, and that the Lakers will pursue Kawhi and Jimmy Butler, that Julius Randle, now this is the Mike Bassick trade special right here. Bassick's in there, I think, on the edge of his seat. Julius Randle, it will be available leaving New Orleans, and if Kyrie signs with the Nets, which everyone thinks is going to happen, D'Angelo Russell available, go.
Yeah, D'Angelo Russell not only will be available, we got a good Tolo out there that is apparently friends with one of Kyrie Irving's, I'm just going to call her a girlfriend to be nice.
Wow.
And he was texting in for the last couple of weeks saying, I'm telling you, Kyrie's going to Brooklyn. I'm telling you, Kyrie's going to Brooklyn. And one of the things I said to him was, I can't see Brooklyn spending all their money on Kyrie and D'Angelo Russell. So there was an Ian Begley report over the weekend that the Nets will not offer D'Angelo Russell a max contract. So if D'Angelo Russell is out there and available, I would think that the Mavericks would have interest in this. And if you really want to just do the whole fun thing of players put teams together, go back and look at D'Angelo Russell's social media accounts over the last 6 months. There's a certain Dallas Maverick that's all over it, loving everything that he does. And that would be a guy who has a similar offensive game, and that would be Luka Doncic. So if you decided that you look at the Mavericks and go, hey, they have enough offense, they need defense, and they need rebounding, you don't go spend money on D'Angelo Russell. But if you look at the finals and go, hey, look what happened to Golden State after they lost one of their main offensive hubs, and you want, in the modern NBA, want shooting and spacing, D'Angelo Russell is very attractive. His max is also less than Kemba Walker's and less than Kyrie Irving's and less than these other guys because he hasn't reached 7 years of NBA service yet. So instead of being eligible for 30% of the cap, he's eligible for 25% of the cap. So you're getting a young player that can physically at least cover two guards as well as point guards. He's not a great defensive player, but he's a good shooter. He's a creator. You would have an incredibly potent offense. I would think the Mavericks would look long and hard at D'Angelo Russell if the Nets spend their money on Kyrie Irving and decide to let D'Angelo Russell walk. They're also going to look long and hard at Kemba Walker. And if Kemba Walker truly wants the max, the Lakers can't offer it. I don't believe that the Hornets will offer it. So that might increase the Mavericks' chances of being able to sign Kemba Walker as well.
What about Julius Randle?
I think Julius Randle is a great player. I would love to have him here at the right money. I think he's going to want more money than the Mavericks can afford. I also think, you know, if you look at the big rotation that the Mavericks have, is Julius Randle at, I'm assuming he's going to make anywhere between $15 and $20 million with the numbers that he put up. Is he really the best fit here? I think with the size of Porzingis and him being defensively a center and offensively a four, I think Randle would be fine playing alongside him. And I also know that, you know, you guys know he's from here, or at least played his high school ball here. I think would love to live in this area. But I don't know that – I see Randle here if the Mavericks strike out on everything else they wanted. And if they strike out, I'm talking about big name or even second-tier guys. I think Randle's probably a quote-unquote lower second-tier or third-tier guy. I can see a fit here if they strike out on everything else. But if they end up landing a D'Angelo Russell or a Kemba Walker or a player of that ilk, you know, Julius Randle will then – there won't be any cap space for him. So he would probably move on.
What is your wish list?
The skin list.
Like a realistic wish list? Like, you know, me not saying, hey, Klay Thompson's going to leave the Warriors and we're going to bring him in March, that
yeah.
kind of thing?
Yeah.
The thing that is curious to me is if the Nets let D'Angelo Russell walk, I think he's someone I would be really interested in. I think depending on what happens with the Sixers and the Nets, because Tobias Harris has been tied to the Nets, I think he kind of falls in line with what would be a really good fit here. But there's another option to all this that I like. Dawson has made some really compelling arguments against it. I think he makes a hell of a lot of sense. I actually think this is the route the Lakers are going to end up going. But taking your money and populating the rest of your team with rebounders and defense, guys like, all right, do we bring in Pat Beverly? Do we bring in guys like Ed Davis? I mean, the other thing, I would love, love, love to get Middleton here, but I just can't see a scenario in which the Bucks let him walk because then they're sending a signal to the Greek Freak 2 years from now, hey, man, we're not even keeping all-stars around you. Right. They can't afford to let him right. walk. So I really foresee a scenario in which, and keep in mind, if you know, I haven't gone in there and done all the variations financially, but if they do sign D'Angelo Russell, there's a little more room to play with money-wise. So that might be a way to add another rebounder or add another defender and add Russell. But those are more, I think, realistic type names to really gun for. I mean, do I want Kawhi Leonard? Of course. Are we going to get Kawhi Leonard? No, we're not getting Kawhi Leonard. So, and by the way, that's the most fascinating story left for me is if Kawhi Leonard stays in Toronto or goes to the Clippers.
Is it not why Houston isn't just sticking together? Because once KD ripped up that Achilles, I thought they were the favorites. I'm sure Sean did too.
Yeah.
Why the drama in Houston? Everyone wants out now.
Well, the drama in Houston, I think, mostly has to do with one of two things. They lost twice when they had great opportunities, and they have a new owner. And whenever we saw that here with the Mavericks, whenever you have a new owner, these guys that are billionaires tend that you can't tell them anything. They know everything. Look at how long it took for Sacramento to stabilize once Randive came in there. So I think what happens is these billionaires – they're like, well, why don't you just do this? Why don't you just do this? And they make mistakes, and they put their foot in their mouth, and they do these things. I think that's a toxic combination. Daryl Morey's really smart. His biggest problem is the size of the contract for Chris Paul and the age he's at. But the moment that Kevin Durant got hurt, the Rockets window opened up again. I also think that story was misreported. The Rockets weren't looking to just unload guys. They were looking to get better. And if you look at Daryl Morey's history, he's constantly tinkering, constantly trying to get better. They're not just out there going, hey, anybody want Capella? We don't like him anymore. Hey, anybody want Chris Paul? We got to get rid of this contract. They were going to utilize those guys to try to get better. But I think to the original question you asked and the point you guys just made, which I agree with, I don't know how much better the Rockets need to get. You know, they need to stay healthy. 2 years ago, the Rockets had the Warriors beat and Chris Paul got hurt. You know, this year, I think Chris Paul wears thin on guys, and I think Chris Paul's the worst loser of all time. And when they're losing, I think he grates on guys. And he also was hurt more this year. Like, he's been hurt a lot, and his productivity's starting to go down. But the Rockets are right there at the top. And unless there's some great trade out there for the Rockets to make, I think they keep their team together. I think they make another run at it, and they hope that they're healthy. Their issues are health more than chemistry or those kinds of things. I think it's very common for a new rich owner to come in, and suddenly there's tension and problems and trying to sort through all these things.
We only got seconds left, but Bassick ran in here with a question on a piece of paper. How much will Pat Beverly cost?
Shoot, I wish I knew. I think he's probably in the neighborhood of 12 or so would be my guess.
Okay.
This was absolutely perfect. Thank you so much for waking up. We'll be listening later on today.
All right, later, boys.
Beast, basketball machine, Jeff Skin Wade, Ben and Skin, Mavs TV analyst.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.